Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's about that time, and happy Monday fun day on this June 24th, 2019. I really hope you all had a great weekend. It was beautiful, wasn't it? I mean, just pitch perfect. Gorgeous. I mean, temps in the 70s, and we even hit the 80s. I mean, just beautiful. So I really hope you guys had a great weekend. I know you're back on the grind, back on the grizzy, as we say in Detroit, and, you know, working that 9 to 5 or however long you may be working today. Welcome back to the grind, and hopefully we can take the edge of getting back to work with a great hour of current sports in your ear. All right. So, yes, I am your host, Al Martin. A few things I want to touch on today, because today is a pretty big day in the world of college sports here in Michigan, depending on where your fandom lies. If you are a University of Michigan fan, tonight is going to be a pretty big night for you, because you will be playing in the College World Series finale against Vanderbilt. So game one tonight at 7 p.m., game two tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and on Wednesday at 7 p.m., there will be a game three if necessary. I want to touch on a few points that I want to hammer home concerning Michigan making it this far on the College World Series finale stage. Quite remarkable on a lot of different levels. And, you know, I know that the opinions vary, right? The opinions vary because, heck, we do current sports here at WKAR right here in good old East Lansing, filled with Michigan State fans everywhere. And like I highlighted last week, you know, the reaction is a bit mixed when it comes to watching the success of this year's Wolverines team on the baseball field from a Michigan State fandom perspective, all right? So, we'll highlight that game, and I'll have some thoughts on the fan perspective in just a moment. Also, later on this hour, I want to comment on the Michigan State Spartans, who have joined summer league basketball teams in the NBA. Of course, there were no Spartans taken last week in rounds one or two of the NBA draft. However, there are three players who have made summer league rosters and will hope to possibly make a permanent roster spot come next season. Now, for some of these players, if not all, it may be a bit of a long shot, but anything is possible, as the great Kevin Garnett would say. All right? So I want to make some comments on that. And also, I kid you not, folks, I literally just watched this report probably about 2 hours ago when prepping for today's show, because I have been hearing about it on social media. I actually got a few calls and people hopping in my DM saying, Al, did you see it? Did you see it? And it's been on my to-do list for a while. So I had some time this morning to finally watch a national report centered on horse racing that is painting the sport in a pretty bad light. And I see why. There are some things I want to address when it comes to this report, all right? So I'll just tease you with that. And then later on in the hour to close it out, we will, of course, close out the show with weekend winners. So a lot to get to. A lot I got to get off my chest. A lot of points I want to make concerning tonight's Michigan baseball College World Series finale game one against Vandy. Again, we'll talk about the Spartans who have made summer league teams in the NBA and, you know, what the summer will mean for those players. A lot to get to, folks. If you would like to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can watch the live stream there and comment below that video. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. We've got Connor Mathis rocking the mic behind the glass, working the board, engineer of this Monday edition of Current Sports, as Connor now pushes us to our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Again, as I just mentioned, Michigan baseball in the College World Series finale, taking on Vanderbilt. Game one tonight at 7 p.m. Game two again tomorrow at 7 p.m. And then game three, if necessary, will take place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. So we'll have some thoughts. I'll preview that matchup just a bit. I'll tell you who your starting pitchers will be. One said starting pitcher for the Michigan baseball team tonight has been on an absolute tear. A lot of points I want to make concerning Michigan baseball. All right, so Michigan baseball in the College World Series Championship series against Vanderbilt starting tonight at 7 p.m. Excuse me. Construction on an addition to Munn Ice Arena could begin this month on Michigan State University's campus. MSU trustees approved an $18.8 million arena expansion project on Friday. It includes a 35,000-square-foot addition, a new entrance, better training facilities, renovated office space, and more. Now, the work should be finished by December of next year, according to the university documents. The project was originally expected to cost between $14 and $16 million. Arena upgrades were temporarily put on hold as the university solicited donations in 2017. Trustees approved the expansion in August. And we actually have a detailed report from now former Current Sports beat reporter Jack Snevice, who detailed the expansion, and I'm going to have to share that as a in case you missed it post later on our Facebook page as a follow-up to this story. But again, construction to Munn Ice Arena for this new upgrade could begin this month. It's already been approved, $18.8 million. Exciting stuff over at Munn. All right. Kenny Goins, Nick Ward, and Matt McQuaid all hope what happens in Vegas will allow them to make their next destination to the NBA. Goins agreed to play for the Denver Nuggets in the NBA Summer League, which runs from July 5th to the 15th. And that's according to The Athletic and retweeted by Goins' representative at Edge Sports International. Now, the former Spartan walk-on will join Nick Ward, who signed with the Atlanta Hawks, and Matt McQuaid, as we told you last week, who has signed with the Detroit Pistons to play summer league ball. As undrafted players hoping to make an impression and land an NBA roster spot, a two-way deal, or a job in the G League come this fall. So, wishing Goins, Ward, and McQuaid all the best. More on those three in just a moment. In front of a record crowd of 4,818 on Saturday night,
Yeah, you guys showed up and showed out. Lansing defeated Orlando City. Lansing Ignite, I should say. 2-0, your final at Cooley Law School Stadium to move to third place. This is what Ignite coach Nate Miller had to say after that win over Orlando City. B, quote, "I'm just delighted for the players and for the city. It was great to see so many people here, great attendance, and great environment. It was the perfect night for football in Lansing, and the players played really well. I think the second half was our best half of the season." So coupled with the 1-0 win over Toronto FC on Wednesday, the Ignite now trail league leaders South Georgia Tormenta FC by 5 points. But big win there as the Ignite beat Orlando City B 2-0 on Saturday. Again, a crowd of almost 5,000 there. All right, the Lansing Lugnuts scored 7 runs in the fourth inning on the way to a 9-6 victory over the Dayton Dragons on Sunday afternoon. That crowd sat at 7,684 at Fifth Third Field. So, of course, the Luggies on the road for this weekend set. The two clubs split the 4-game series to start the second half of the season. All right, and speaking of baseball, how about the Detroit Tigers? And it's really starting to feel like a broken record, like Groundhog Day, like nightmare deja vu, really, right? Sloppy defense, mental lapses, and almost no timely hitting again conspired against the Tigers in an 8-3 loss against the Cleveland Indians on Sunday. Yeah, I know. It seems like every time, Connor, I talk about these dudes, man, they're losing and just sloppy play. And I saw a local sports anchor in Detroit over the weekend compiling like a blooper reel of how bad the Tigers have been the last 2 weeks. It's just embarrassing at this point. But this is what we expected, though. I told you guys this before the season. I'm not always that guy to be like, "I told you so." But I did tell you so when it came to the Tigers. They had this hot start. And I'm sitting there saying, "Folks, do you know how many games are in a baseball season and you're going crazy because of this start after like 20 games?" Again, the cream always rises to the top, especially when you have that many games. And this Detroit Tigers roster just, they're in rebuild mode. We all know that. All right, so 8-3 loss on Sunday. The loss completes the Indians' second 3-game sweep of the Tigers in successive weekends. So enough with the Tigers. All right. Now that Steve Yzerman's first draft as Red Wings GM is in the books, it's clear what his top priority is as he begins building his team. Defense was an absolute focus for the Wings in the 2019 NHL draft. 5 of the 11 picks were defenders. But, you know, every draft analysis that I read this morning is not real high on what Stevie Y and the Wings did in the draft. You know, saying that they reached, I heard that word a lot, quote, reached on many, many picks. So I'm curious, you know, for my hockey listeners out there, how impressed or how not impressed, or maybe you're indifferent, I don't know. How are you feeling about what Stevie Y did in his first draft as the Detroit Red Wings GM? Are you elated? Are you not high on it and you're sitting there thinking, okay, what are they doing? Or are you just indifferent and you just want to wait and see? Curious to hear from you guys. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, the Detroit Pistons have designated a 2-way contract to an undrafted prospect. A source close to the negotiations confirmed this news to the Detroit Free Press in a report that the Pistons have agreed to a 2-way deal with Oregon forward Louis King. Definitely a talented kid. That's what a source close to the deal wrote to the Free Press via text. Quote, "Good size too. Needs to mature a little." So 6'9", 205 pounds. He's 20 years old. He left Oregon after his freshman year. Shot 43.5% from the field, 38.6% from three-point range in 32 games, averaging nearly 30 minutes per game. So again, the Detroit Pistons designating a two-way contract to undrafted prospect Lewis King from Oregon. All right, and I want to give you guys an update when it comes to the FIFA Women's World Cup, as Team USA is currently tied with Spain 1-1 in the round of 16. USA scored on a Megan Rapinoe goal. Spain answered 2 minutes later with an upper 90 shot by Spanish striker Jennifer Hermoso. The winner will take on France this Friday at 3 p.m. And Connor let me know that he does have the World Cup on behind the glass. So, Connor, again, if anything happens, just interrupt me and be like, Al, you know, you can scream, goal! Hopefully it's a goal for USA, all right? So just interrupt. I don't care where I'm at. If I'm, you know, pinning a monologue to our listeners out there, just please interrupt me because this is tied up. This is kind of surprising. Is this surprising to you right now?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, Team USA throughout the group stage just kind of steamrolled everyone, didn't really have any issues. But the Spanish goal here was on a really, really bad play. The USA's goalie basically threw the ball to a Spanish attacker. So
gotcha. Okay.
Not the best look for Team USA, but they also, their goal came on a PK. So it's been really tight, though. It's been real physical. There's been a lot of fouls, a lot of stoppage for injuries and stuff. So we will see.
All right, we will see. Again, we'll keep you updated throughout the hour on USA and Spain. But our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Like I stated in the headliners, I want to hear from our hockey fans out there as well, because the NHL draft did take place. And the Detroit Red Wings, as I mentioned, you know, this is Stevie Y's first draft as general manager of the Winged Wheel. Five of the 11 picks, defenders. And from what I heard and what I read this morning, there aren't too many people impressed with what the Wings did. So, do you echo those sentiments, basically? Are you high on what Stevie Y did, or you don't like it? I want to hear from you when it concerns Nick Ward, Kenny Goins, and Matt McQuaid, all three, as we assumed, right? We predicted that all three would find an NBA Summer League team. Your thoughts on the chances that Ward, Goins, and McQuaid can impress out in Vegas and possibly have a shot at landing a roster spot in the association. All right, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Many of you weighing in on there. My goodness, we have about like 28 comments already, and I'm only 18 minutes into the hour. That's amazing. Steven, Ben, I see you guys. And everybody else who's commenting right now that I can't see. But 28 comments, 5 shares. What did I do right when I hit record to start the show, Connor? That's crazy. That may be a record in the first 18 minutes of the show. But thank you guys so much. I'll sift through a few of those comments and get your thoughts on whatever's on your sports noggin at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Folks, again, happy Monday to you all. It was a picture perfect weekend I had a great weekend. Connor, you do anything special, man? Anything special or just kind of chill out and enjoy the weather?
I was basically a pool bum for the weekend.
That's awesome.
So I was out of the pool. Then I went down to Monroe to see some family, fished for a little bit, then came back and was a beach bum basically for the whole day at a pool again.
That is awesome. That's like the perfect weekend. That's the ideal. Because it was the first summer of the year in 2019, this past weekend. And it was gorgeous here in Michigan. You know, I went down to Detroit and saw the fam. And I saw grandma. I got some of that good. Man, I tell you, man, when you live by yourself and you're away from family, you know, I'm only an hour away. My family, you know, a lot of my family's in Detroit. You know, I told you my mom, she lives in Miami. But you miss the home cooking when you're away from, you know, and you live by yourself. So I went home. Had some great home cooking from grandma. Saw some of the homies, and my stepdad was in town from Florida as well visiting. It was a great weekend. Awesome weekend. Spent part of it downtown Detroit. And I tell you what, man. Downtown Detroit. River Days took place downtown Detroit. Downtown Detroit is really going to come up if you have not already heard. The amount of construction taking place down there. And it's just so lively now. You know, there's so many people down there walking around, mingling with one another, the restaurants and the bars. It's amazing. It's amazing, especially around the sports arenas like Little Caesars Arena and Ford Field. It's awesome. So great weekend. Glad to have you a part of this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. As I mentioned, a lot of comments coming in on our Facebook page. And you know, I asked a question about the Wings first draft for Stevie Y, and Steven says it's Stevie Y's first year. Ben says I guess the point that Steven is making there, you know, maybe he gets a pass if you aren't high on what the Wings did in the draft over the weekend. It's his first year, so maybe he gets kind of a pass. And again, we all know that the Wings are still in rebuild mode right now. I get that. I think that's the point Steven is making with that comment. Ben says, we went to the NHL draft party on Friday night. It was awesome. We had a lot of fun. The party. I'm sure there were multiple probably for hockey fans out there. I'm wondering which party that was, but you went to a draft party for the NHL. That's awesome, Ben. Really cool stuff. And Mike comments and says, Al, how long will the Tigers rebuild? Enough of the Tigers is right, Al. Yeah, I know. I'm tired of talking about them, to be honest with you. But like I stated, you know, 2 years ago, I think this rebuild is going to take at least 5 years. You know, so we're in year three right now on my clock. I don't think they'll get back to really playing competitive baseball until two seasons from now, if that. So, and Ron Gardenhire, I love him. You know, Ron Gardenhire is a guy who is no nonsense. You know, there was a piece that came out last week of how Ron had a really stern talking to when it comes to his team. Had a really stern talking to his team last week after, I don't know what series it was, but he was not happy with the effort from his respective troops that donned the old English D, and he let them know it. And he kind of grilled them a bit. I like that mentality, but I just think that Ron Gardenhire, when you look at this roster, you just don't have the talent. You just don't have the talent. And especially if you don't have the talent and you think that they're not giving it 100% when they go out there, that's a bad combination. So Ron is trying to change the culture right now. It's just tough because there is a talent disparity when looking at this Detroit Tigers team and just a lot of mental lapses, especially these last few weeks that have led to loss after loss after loss for the Tigers. Okay, you know what? Real quick, it's his day off, really, because Connor, you're rocking the mic behind the glass, but he is such a fan of the show, and this show is so ingrained into his sports DNA that he couldn't resist, especially when we're talking hockey. He couldn't resist, and he called in Jack Kerwin, one man of the three-man weave engineering team here at Current Sports, and our in-house hockey expert. Jack wanted to call in when he heard me mention the Red Wings in the NHL draft, and Jack has some thoughts concerning what the Wings did. Jack, happy day, quote-unquote, off. How you doing, brother?
Not too bad. You know what? I'm actually just driving back to EL now. I saw the family over the weekend.
Awesome.
And, you know, tuned in, was hearing you, right when I tuned in, it was during the headliners. heard you talking about Stevie Y. Thought I'd call in and give my 2 cents, man.
Yeah, what are your thoughts, Jay? Because what I heard this morning from a few shows and what I've been reading is that there's mixed feelings. A lot of people don't believe Stevie Y knocked this thing out of the park. And I heard the word reach. I read that a lot this morning. Is that accurate in your eyes or no?
No, absolutely. I don't think anyone expected Moritz Seider to be their guy at number six. People pegged him as being picked right around 15, so it seemed like a reach at the time. But, you know, I think for one, and I mean, it's an NHL draft. We're not going to know for several years whether these guys pan out or not. You know,
right.
The incubation period for even the first round pick, it'll probably be 2 years till he's impacting with the big club. But, you know, for me, you're definitely still in the honeymoon phase with Steve Yzerman. And I trust Steve Yzerman's judgment. You know what? If Ken Holland would have made this pick guilty as charged, I would have been irate about it. But Steve Yzerman has been made the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings because he is smarter than you and I when it comes to making these decisions. And he's smarter than the analysts that say that, you know, taking Moritz Seider where they did was a reach. So I trust Steve Yzerman's judgment because of his track record in Tampa Bay. And you know what? The more and more I've read up on this kid, the more excited I am, to be honest with you.
So, Jack, when it comes to Moritz Seider, again, he was the sixth overall pick. He's who the Wings chose first, again, in that first round with that sixth pick. Where did you expect him to go? Where was he projected to go, if not six?
You know what, I didn't pay too much attention to it, to be honest with you, just because, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of had my list of guys that I expected that the Red Wings would be targeting if they were to stick with the pick at sixth overall, and he wasn't on that list. So for me, you know, I had no idea. But reading up on him after the Red Wings did take him, he was a mid-first round pick who was picked in the top 10.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Again, Moritz Seider. Yeah, he was that first, that sixth pick and the first pick by the Wings in that slot. When you look at the entirety of what they did, you know, I mentioned in the headliners, as you heard, Jack, 5 of the 11 picks being defenders. Did that surprise you at all?
No, not even a little bit, because the Red Wings defense has sucked for the last couple of years, man. And Ken Holland talked about overhauling this defense. And these are the kind of moves that Steve Yzerman is going to have to make in order to overhaul this defense. It wasn't just that they drafted 5 defensemen. It was that they drafted 3 in the first 2 rounds. You know, their first round pick was a defenseman, and they had 3 second round picks, and 2 of those were on defense as well. It's very clear where Steve Yzerman thinks the talent is severely lacking on this team. And, you know, the eye test backs that up. The Red Wings defensively are... they are nowhere close to contending right now.
Right. It's going to take some time, and it's just a part of the process. So I'm going to ask you, are you dare going to grade, I should say, this draft, Jack? If so, what grade would you give it?
You know, again, for the point I just mentioned, I'm not a big draft grade guy just because it's going to take so long for, you know, nobody's going to be stepping into the NHL next year to contribute for the Red Wings. But from what I've seen, you know, the Athletic gave him a B. I think the Detroit Free Press gave him a B. I think that's probably about where I'd put it, a B- or a B.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And also, you mentioned the honeymoon phase of Stevie Y returning to Detroit to try and put the wheels back on the track for this historic franchise. At what point, Jack, does the honeymoon phase kind of fade away? And we start getting critical of Stevie Y. Is that going to happen maybe in year 2? I think that they may last. That may last for a while, right?
Yeah, no, it could, because first of all, I don't think I'm personally not rooting for the Red Wings to make the playoffs next year. I need them to get hopefully the first overall pick, and I think they're going to have a real shot at that. So
yeah.
I don't know, because when you look at the team's performance on the ice, it could be quite different from, you know, the health of the farm system. You know what I mean? If he builds up the farm system in the next 2 years, but it hasn't translated to on-ice success yet, you know, you might say the Red Wings are in a pretty good spot moving forward, but we haven't seen it from Yzerman yet. So for me, it'll be, if in year 3 they don't look any closer to contending than they do now, I would be incredibly nervous. But, you know, with where I'm at, the Wings certainly, you know, he's nowhere even near that point. I couldn't give you a great answer as to, you know, when the honeymoon phase would end.
Gotcha. All right, Jack. Well, drive safe, brother, as you return back to East Lansing. And thanks for calling in, man.
Of course. Have a good one, Al.
All right, you too. You too. Look at that, Jack. Dedication right there, Connor, calling in on his day off. And just real quick here, looking at – oh, we do – okay, we got an update. You actually just chimed in my ear.
The U.S. is going to be kicking a PK. They just drew a penalty.
Okay, and it's still 1-1.
It's still 1-1 in the 70th minute, so I will let you know if we score. I'll probably play a button. Not sure which one yet, though.
And Ben just said that Alex Morgan is taking the shot.
Ooh, love to see that. Love to see that.
Yeah, I love Alex Morgan. She's awesome. She's awesome. But real quick, that's a good point, too. I mean, you look at the second round, that is also an area that I saw some fans out there saying – that they were critical of, I should say. Two defensemen in that second round. You had three picks in that second round, and you got two defensemen there. You had pick 35 and pick 60 that went to defensemen in the second round, and pick 54 is the only other pick. And I won't even try to tackle these hockey names. I'm not even going to do that. These hockey names. I wish everybody's name was Ethan. Okay, Ethan Phillips.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, the easy ones.
Boo.
I'm not tackling.
Try a European name.
Okay, pick 54. What's LW? Left wing, right? Left winger. Robert Mastrosimoni. Maybe I nailed that. Mastrosimoni. Mastrosimoni. So yeah, Robert Mastrosimoni. That's how I would pronounce that, Connor, but who knows? Who knows? But what I want to do real quick, let's hit our first break. We'll come back. I'll touch on Michigan baseball being in the college baseball World Series championship series. Can you believe that? That's pretty amazing. Game one tonight, Michigan and Vandy. I'll touch on that, and also I want to talk about Nick Ward, Matt McQuaid, and Kenny Goins being, again, in the summer league, in the NBA's summer league, trying to make a solid roster spot come next season. What are the chances? We'll be right back. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Little Miami, Will Smith. A lot of people forget that Will Smith is a pretty good hip-hop artist. He actually won a Grammy with DJ Jazzy Jeff back in the day for Summertime, one of my favorite grooves. And it's officially summertime here in Michigan. Thank goodness, right? Thank goodness. A bit cloudy today, but still the weather, you know, the temps are pretty good. Tips are pretty good today, despite the sunshine not being outside. I'm trying to look at this glass half full, all right? But happy Monday, June 24th, 2019. I want to go behind the glass real quick because we've got an update. As you hear, Connor Mathis behind the glass. What is happening in the World Cup right now with the United States of America?
Another Team USA goal on another PK.
Really?
It was a low one, too. I didn't think they were going to get it in, but they just snuck it in the 75th minute.
Was that Morgan?
No, it was Megan Rapinoe again.
Gotcha. All right. Awesome. So
just snuck it in under the goalie.
So the USA is up 2-1.
Yep, with in the 75th minute. So we've got awesome. Some time, and there's probably going to be some stoppage time just because of, how physical this game's been. There's been a lot of stoppage.
That is awesome stuff, man. All right. Again, we're keeping you updated. The FIFA Women's World Cup, as the United States women's national team is in action right now. Just took a lead over Spain, 2-1. 2-1. All right. Bring it home. Bring it home, ladies. All right. Tonight. Pretty big day in the world of Michigan sports, because the Michigan Wolverines are playing in the College Baseball World Series finale. Yeah, they've made it all the way. And then there were two. They made it all the way to the championship series, taking on Vanderbilt. And, you know, this is just such an awesome story. And this is a point I need to make, because I have heard and read a lot of different takes. You know, it wasn't new for us last week to discuss, oh, how do Michigan State fans, you know, feel about Michigan being there? And a great point that was hammered home by my team and myself is that the fact that we're talking about the sport of baseball here, if this was basketball, if this was football, there's no way this side of the moon we would see Michigan State fans that were either indifferent or, dare I say, rooting for that team out in Ann Arbor if they were competing in the Final Four of basketball or, you know, in the college football playoff. There's no way you would see Spartan fans rooting for the Michigan Wolverines or even indifferent about it. You would want to see the Wolverines crash and burn if we are talking about the two big sports in collegiate athletics. But the fact that we're talking about baseball, it's baseball. All right, I'm not knocking baseball, but I'm just saying, especially college baseball, I'm not knocking it, but it does not have the same cachet. It does not hold the same weight. It does not hold the same emotion as the two big sports in hoops and the gridiron. So I'm not surprised to see, and heck, can I admit this, Connor? I'm kind of rooting for Michigan. It's baseball. I'm kind of rooting for, you know, it's a cool story. And the reason why is because I think many of us have now gotten to know this team and these players a little bit more because of this crazy run. And it's not often that you see a team from the North here in Michigan going all the way to the College World Series championship. You know, because that doesn't happen with Northern schools. And this may be a win for Northern schools because it's not often that you don't see it's not often that you do see, a school that does not get to play in great weather all 12 months of the year. That's what baseball is all about. You know, if you got great weather, that's where all the big recruits, that's why all of the big recruits in baseball, when they play in college, they go down south. They go down south because the weather's great and they can play all year round. Talking about the North here, especially Michigan, right? I mean, Michigan winners, come on, man. So it's kind of awesome to see this, and I think it's a testament. This is why I'm kind of like, all right, this is kind of cool to see. I'm kind of rooting for him. Eric Backich, head coach of the Wolverines, in reading his story and how he grinded and how inspirational this dude is and how he relates to his players, and you hear his players talk about him, you know, in this great glowing admiration. It's really amazing, you know, and looking at Eric's story, and then you listen to him on camera, and the dude is a very intriguing guy. And you can tell, you can see why his players talk about him the way they do. He's an inspirational guy. And, you know, the other cool thing about this series is that Backich actually was an assistant coach under Tim Corbin in the early 2000s when Backich was trying to get his coaching career started. So before Backich took the job in Ann Arbor as the head coach of the University of Michigan baseball team, he was an assistant coach under Tim Corbin. And Corbin looks at Backich as like an adopted adult son. And Backich has gone on the record to say that without Tim Corbin, I wouldn't be here. He taught me just about everything that I know. So it's really cool. When listening to both Corbin and Backich talk about each other, the admiration that they have, and they never would have guessed that they'd be meeting in the biggest stage of college baseball right now. This is what Tim Corbin had to say when it comes to watching his mentee reach this level, and now they're playing against each other on college baseball's biggest stage. Quote, "I never would have believed it. The fact that it takes a lot of special things to happen and so many timing issues involved in order for both teams to come together in the end, just to be able to do it with his family is great. It's so special." So it's awesome. You know, Corbin the teacher, Backich the pupil, Anthony Fennec, Detroit Tigers beat reporter. I think they've taken him. I think Fennett can Connor. I think he can get away from the Tigers just for a little bit. You think?
They're giving him some baseball to watch.
Exactly. He's watching some real baseball right now because I'm not about to go back there. That'd be a whole other thing. When I keep just bashing the Tigers, but
we need to have a day in like the middle of summer where nothing's happening. It's just everyone just come on, vent about the Tigers or just vent about Detroit sports in general.
Exactly,
it'll be a feel good day.
That'll be a therapy hour. That's a therapy session there for a whole hour just doing that, venting about how bad Detroit sports are. But Fennec is the regular Detroit Tigers beat reporter for the Detroit Free Press. He is not covering the Tigers and hasn't been for some time now. During this Michigan baseball run, he has a great piece talking about the relationship between Tim Corbin and Eric Backage. It's going to be fun, though. I'll be watching. I don't watch college baseball unless I'm covering Michigan State baseball and Jake Bosch Jr. But the fact that Michigan hasn't been here since like 1984 and they got a chance to do something really special here and reading stories about Backage, reading stories about, you know, some of the players on that roster. And also, Backage had there was a great piece done, it was either last week or 2 weeks ago, on Backage tackling the minority issue, the lack of diversity within the game of baseball today. And he really was very honest and candid about baseball needing to change and needing to cater to other ethnicities because right now the sport is not diverse. And he kind of riddled through some changes that need to happen within the game of baseball. And I really admired him to say that. I don't know what led to that. I don't know if somebody asked him that question, but he went on this long rant about the lack of diversity in baseball. And he brought up these great ideas, which I'll probably have to bring it up during tomorrow's show. These great ideas on how to diversify the game. He's a unique personality. He's a very inspirational dude when you listen to him talk. So I'm kind of rooting for Michigan, man. I know that's kind of, can I say that, Connor? I can't say that. I can't openly say that, I guess, right? I'll say this. I'm wishing them success.
I am at best indifferent. At worst, I want them to lose in embarrassing fashion.
You know what this job
I
has
am...
done? This is what this job has done to me, Connor. When I've been reporting now, I've been a professional sports reporter and broadcaster now since I graduated in 2012. And you are taught, you know how they teach us here at Michigan State, right? How they teach any journalism student who wants to go into this. You have to stay non-biased. And I think I have tried to stay so non-biased throughout my career that you just become numb to it. You're like, that fandom, like the fandom. Of course, I still bleed green, went to Michigan State. I'm an alum. But when I do this show, I try to stay as non-biased as possible. And when you do that, we're on episode like, what, 1,400 and something like that, Connor? When you do that many shows and you've been doing it for years, you become kind of numb to the fandom after a while. See, you're still fresh to you guys like Jack and Alec as well, Connor, where you guys are still students or you just graduated. That fandom is still fresh, man. So for me, I kind of look at this and say, all right, cool. Now, if this was, okay, again, if this was football, in basketball, I would have a different take. But this team is kind of cool, I must admit.
Like I said, best indifferent because it's baseball. Worst, want them to lose embarrassingly.
Right.
But I'm more on the indifferent side right now.
Okay.
More so than anything because it's not like it's not really the teams that usually annoy me. It's usually the fans. So it's one of those things like if someone's like bragging like, I followed this team from day one. I'm like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You did not. Right. You picked them up in like late May, and you're like, this is pretty cool. And then, they just so happened to get in the championship game. So at least if they do win, the bragging of, I've been there since day one. I knew this was going to happen. It's like, yeah, okay, sure you did.
Stop it. Just stop it, right? Because that's also, I will say that. This run by the Michigan baseball team and seeing the reaction from some Michigan fans has annoyed me for that reason, Connor. They act like they've been following the team the whole season. Heck, at the very beginning of the season, I was reading a piece over the weekend. There aren't many people that thought they were going to even make the tournament after game like five because the team didn't look that great. So to sit there and say that you have been following this team and you rah-rah and you got your pom-poms out when you just basically hopped on the bandwagon when you saw them making this run in the College World Series, to the College World Series, you're playing yourself. And any Michigan fan that just kind of pump fakes and says, oh, yeah, baby, here we go. I've been rocking with this team all year. You're playing yourself.
See, because when Beilein was with Michigan for basketball, I wasn't like the pure hatred of for that basketball team. The basketball team, I was like, yeah, they're all right. But like the fans for basketball and football, it's just different. There's a certain arrogance to it that I think I didn't like that as much. Because I love John Beilein. Respect him. He's a great coach. All that good stuff. Out of all the Michigan teams, the basketball side would be the one I'm like, okay, this is fine. As long as they weren't playing Michigan State, I'm like, all right, this is okay.
Exactly. Right. No, I totally hear you on that. So, and I also, you know, the other aspect of this being that, you know, you see a Northern school here in Michigan going to the biggest stage in college baseball. I think it's going to take, I've kicked around this idea as well. It's going to take more Northern schools to reach this kind of level on a consistent basis in order to kind of shift the paradigm of every big-time baseball recruit going down south to play year-round because of the weather. It's going to take consistent success from Northern schools. And I don't know how you do that. I guess it's 2019, and there's ways around that, you know, get better training facilities so you can work on stuff year-round indoors if the weather is crappy outside. There's ways around it. But, you know, people have been debating whether or not there's going to be a profound ripple effect. Now, seeing Michigan on this stage, you're going to see big-time recruits want to come to Northern schools like the University of Michigan. Heck, like Michigan State University. It's going to take much more than that because, as we see on an annual basis, Connor, those who go deep come this time of year at this stage are schools down south and schools with great climate, right?
It's probably also a personal preference thing. I mean, do you want to be able to, like, your outdoor games in the early part of the season where it'll be like in the 60s and maybe you get a little bit of rain, or do you want it to be in the Midwest or the New Yorks where it's the New Yorks, the up that upper area where it's going to be guaranteed rain, guaranteed, like maybe 45 is like your high until probably like end of April, May.
Right.
So
like, who wants to play in that?
Yeah.
Right?
I think part of it's personal preference too, but I mean, if you get like indoor facilities, I think that would help.
It's hard to recruit, man. It's hard to land the big time recruits. If you are a school like Michigan or Michigan State, which is even more why this is so impressive from the standpoint of Eric Backage and the University of Michigan. Okay, let's hit our final break. When I come back, I'll comment on Nick Ward, Kenny Goins, as well as Matt McQuaid for finding NBA Summer League homes, at least briefly, out in Vegas. And we'll have weekend winners for you. I've got a weekend loser, though, centered on the sport of horse racing and a report that really flipped my stomach upside down when I saw it this morning, all right? That and more. We'll bring it home when we come back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. And right on cue, Connor Mathis, awesome job. You know, I mentioned Will Smith in Summertime and him winning his lone Grammy for that track. One of my all-time favorite hip-hop songs, DJ Jazzy Jeff in The Fresh Prince. And that's the instrumental from that joint. One of my favorite. You know, when that song comes on, man, you just get into like a summertime mood, don't you? Like, you just want to hit the pool or go to a barbecue. Right, Connor? Am I right? When you hear that, you feel the same way, dude? Awesome. Awesome. All right. World Cup update behind the glass. What's taking place?
We USA still up 2-1. Actually looks like they're on an attack right now, but stoppage time plus 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
That is how many times they've been a stop for an injury, a stop for a foul. That's insane.
That's just soccer. for you. That's football for you. I never understood. I mean, and then some players the faking the injuries too. Does that happen a lot in women's soccer?
This game, there's been a couple of times where it looks like they could, you know, kind of catch your breath by going down. But I mean, I think it's in soccer in general.
I hate that so much. But okay,
that's probably why there's plus 7 minutes.
Exactly right. And USA though still up 2-1. But stoppage time is going to, you know, push this thing a little further. David comments on our Facebook page and says, Michigan doing this is good for the Big Ten. I think the first team in 50 years to get this far, ? Maybe. Can we look that up, Connor? You have to root for these kids. It's been a long time, David. It has been a long, long time that we've seen a Northern school get this far. And, yeah, maybe they're, you know, maybe there are some recruits looking at this and looking at Michigan's story and saying, oh, wow, okay, I can go to a school like that and have great success and make it to a big stage later on in the postseason, in the tournament. That's awesome stuff. So, yeah, I think there is going to be kind of a ripple effect. I don't know how big that ripple is going to be, but I do believe there are recruits who are watching this and thinking to themselves, why not Michigan? Why not a Northern school? Why not a Big Ten university? There are going to be some recruits that think that. So good point there, David. Definitely a good point there. I don't know. I can't measure how big of an impact, how big the impact is going to be. But I do think there is some kind of impact. And, you know, Michigan hasn't been there since 1984. But again, the first team in the Big Ten in 50 years to get this far. I don't know about that one. Is that accurate, Connor? Come open your mic.
It looks like it. I'm going through the history of it, and Michigan won it in 1953.
Okay.
And I'm not seeing, well, does Penn State really count if they weren't in the Big Ten at the time? Because if that's the case, Penn State was in it in 1957.
Okay.
But
they weren't officially in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I don't think so. Oh, here we go. Ohio State was in 65, but
65. Okay. It's been a long
time. It's been a very long time. And
wow.
I think Ohio State might be the last one. Yep, Ohio State's the last one since other than Michigan.
Wow. That's amazing. That is truly amazing. So, yeah, this is a big-time feat. This is a big-time feat. And if they win this whole thing, they got a good shot to win this whole thing. Last time I checked, I looked at the odds, and Vandy is favored tonight. I don't know. I didn't look at the series favorite and who that was, but Vandy is favorite tonight, which I would guess that they are favorite to win the series then. But I don't think it was by a lot, though. So real quick, Kenny Goins, Matt McQuaid, Nick Ward have found NBA homes, at least temporarily, when it comes to the NBA Summer League. Kenny Goins plays for the Denver Nuggets Summer League team. Nick Ward has found a summer league home with the Atlanta Hawks, and Matt McQuaid with the Detroit Pistons. Out of those three, Connor, if I had to say who has the best odds, ranking them 1 to 3, I'm going Matt McQuaid 1 because he's a shooter. That's the thing people have to understand. I think Nick is a great talent, and I always say this. If Nick Ward did not injure his hand during that Ohio State game, I think Nick Ward was playing so consistent and his numbers were pretty solid enough to at least be a second round pick in this past year's, last week's NBA draft. I really believe that if Nick did not injure that hand, he would have gotten drafted last week out in Brooklyn, New York, but it set him back. But when you look at the NBA shooters, and it's a shooter's league, it's a guard league, and Matt McQuaid is a great shooter. I think he's got the best opportunity. Nick Ward would be 2 for me, and Kenny Goins would be 3. That's how I would rank it. How would you rank that, Connor?
I'd say Matt McQuaid, as of right now, with the skills that Matt McQuaid's definitely probably my favorite to maybe even land like a bench role in the NBA.
Okay.
Nick, I think, is going to, if he has a chance in this league, I think he's going to have to do a stint or two in the G League. He needs to develop a more consistent outside shot. Given his size, he's not big enough for like a pure NBA big man. And I think people might be surprised that I think Kenny has a chance at maybe making something, but he would not have, he wouldn't be able to play power forward. If he could transition into more of a small forward, like really, really stretch four, where it's, where, you know, he can rely more on that shooting, which as we've seen has progressed in recent years, I think he could maybe be like one of those role player down the line, but I think he also would have to do a stint or two in the G League.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm with you. I think it's going to be really hard. Any player who goes and plays in the summer league, out of college, you know, undrafted guys, it's always going to be an uphill battle. You don't normally see those guys land an NBA roster spot come that next season. And a lot of them either go overseas for next year or they play in the G League and make some cheese that way. But so the odds aren't in favor of McQuaid, Ward, and Goings. But we've seen some pretty cool stories over the years blossom when it comes to Spartan fandom. I mean, heck, I think of Bryn Forbes. He's one of the ones that really come to mind. And what he did that year for the San Antonio Spurs summer league team, Greg Popp, you know, he saw it and said, all right, let's bring him on. And he's been a pretty solid contributor for that squad. And you hear the update there. So real quick, also Denzel Valentine, too. He had an awesome stint. Didn't Denzel go, like, all the way to the championship game? Did he have, like, a buzzer beater, if I recall correctly? I remember Denzel Valentine having something like buzzer beater win in a big game for the Chicago Bulls.
You know, I'm not sure, but I know he had a good summer league. I know that for sure.
Right. But he was drafted, though.
Yes, he was.
Valentine was drafted, though. So it would... different situation. But all right, what's the update in the World Cup?
Team USA 1-2-1.
Okay.
After stoppage time.
That's it. It's in the books. It was close. You know, yeah, I'm sure some of you maybe pulled out a few strands of hair, you know, bit on those fingernails a bit. But the United States women's national soccer team has gotten the win over Spain 2-1. The final. So when it comes to the next game, the winner plays what? France? Is that what I read, right, Connor?
Yep, France at 3 on Friday.
3 p.m. on Friday. USA and France, looking forward to that one. Okay, tomorrow, because of time, I am going to dive into, and I may get Brian Nielsen, a local horse racing expert. I may have to get him on the show tomorrow to talk about what HBO's Real Sports reported in its latest installment of Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, detailing some very disturbing realities that have been taking place for quite a long time within the horse racing industry. I'm telling you, it turned my stomach. It's very graphic and very real. All right, so we'll get to that on Tuesday's edition of the show. Until then, have a great Monday afternoon and evening, and be easy, people.